Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to another episode of Crypto Bros. I'm your host, Jason Madison. As always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Mike Risse, Mike McGoy, and Chris Epps. What up, fellas?
What up, what up?
Here.
Ooh.
Another crazy week in crypto, in the space, in the spaces. I don't want to make it NFT land again, but we've had the NFT merger and a coin just dropped today, ApeCoin. The Bored Ape Yacht Club has their initial coin offering, like it's 2017, and they airdropped to their holders, basically gave them some free money. I don't know what else. What else?
A lot of free money.
Yeah. Can you describe it?
Dude, it's, I'm seeing like dudes who already have an NFT worth, you know, $250,000 floor. I think most holders of one got probably around 50K minimum.
Wow.
Something like that. And that's like, I was just listening to their spaces going on. I think it's probably still right now or just ended. Talking about how they weighted it against how many you have, how long you've held them.
Right.
If you did the mutant serum thing to make the mutant apes, right. They had a pretty good system. Just like how ENS did, that airdrop was pretty big for the public eye too. Everyone kind of saw that coin pop up. It did pretty well. It made me more like, I was bullish on it when I heard about it coming out. I was like, yeah, that coin's going to go up. This is the first thing I can finally admit to buying or convince myself after 8 months of or a year of almost like saying this looks silly. I finally can get in and stop saying looks silly because I'm in now, so I can stop talking shit, you know. Sorry, apes.
Right.
The ApeCoin is worth buying.
You got ApeCoin.
Yeah, I bought some ApeCoin this morning when I woke up. I knew it was gonna go crazy when it launched. Yeah. So I didn't stay up like most people did for the launch. I got me and my friends to tell everyone to fall asleep, get some good rest, and we woke up and bought it as soon as possible. Luckily, we all slept in a bit and bought it after it came out because it went from like $6 at launch to $22 in like, was it says 10 minutes to 20 minutes. And then it got sandwich bought it, or arbitrage bought it, slash also sold back into the $8 range where I bought like when I woke up for a little bit for my, you know, me and a little bit for my DAO mostly, actually.
Right.
Which Mike and Mike are in.
Hey.
This is the redemption. We're going to get out of this art blocks rut and, you know, hopefully we'll be at the Bored Ape Yacht Club yacht party for whatever Bitcoin conference shit. I don't know.
But can we talk about the art blocks fiasco for a quick second here?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, I'd like to hear about this.
This is the art blocks fiasco.
I actually like a portion of the art. I could say that compared to a lot of other PFPs I'm seeing right now.
I still do too, yes.
Why did it fall off so fast, so hard?
It was just the end of the run in general at that time. It was the end of the bull run. It was a top for art blocks.
So wait, explain to me what happened, because I don't know, y'all are speaking in code.
So Artbox is a generative art protocol or house, and they just help artists come and make computer-generated art.
Right, so Artbox is like a PFP generator.
No, not PFP, it's art, like art.
Yeah, I know it's not a PFP, but I'm just saying like it's an NFT company. Yeah. That makes NFTs, and like you guys bought in on one of the collections. Do they have multiple collections?
We minted from the beginning. Like, I had already made some money on it. It was going up. It was going pretty well. And when we made the DAO, that was the first thing. Like, that was kind of my foray into art blocks, or having art blocks and seeing them going up was like the kind of the beginning of the DAO, quote unquote, that we made. And IRS. Oh, well.
We're gonna get to that too. It's tax season.
Yeah, it is. I know. Oh shit, that too. 2 years late. Never mind. St. Patty's. Anyways.
Yeah, exactly. All of that.
We started from minting as a group. We all put up some money together. We minted our block. Our blocks has different collections, all by different artists. It's like 1,000 max per each, usually. And we minted one called Ritual for minted or bought one. It was called Ritual. It was like fucking 0.2. No, it was two. No, it was two ETH.
It was a two ETH mint?
Yeah. So it was a Dutch auction. Art Blocks had already had gone crazy by then. People were making so much money that they had to.
But yeah, explain the Dutch auction, because also one thing we didn't get to touch last week is so much stuff that always goes on was this person I never heard of, Ty Lopez, I think is his name.
Never heard of Ty Lopez, bro?
No, bro. I've never heard of this person.
Everyone's heard of this nigga. Right. Bro,
apparently everyone else but me.
Everyone else but you. That's crazy.
It was like the homies like earlier this week had did a podcast, and the homie Lowe was like, he ain't never seen The Dark Knight. And I was like, this is clickbait. Like, I can't believe a nigga didn't see that movie. But yeah, I never heard of Ty Lopez ever in my life before last week.
That sounds like you just said, for real.
So you saying, because they said he did a Dutch auction. And he was selling all kind of crazy shit. So what's a Dutch auction?
I don't know. So Dutch auction is supposed to make things fair. First off, for people who are botting, just like with sneakers or other shit online, people can bot crypto and snipe the listing and or just, you know, scoop up everything. Mm-hmm. So Dutch auction makes it so you start at a high price and it settles down to a low price over a period amount or over a certain amount of time, mm-hmm. in intervals usually. Mm-hmm. And then that resting price, you know, hopefully is a price that everyone buys at and is fair, because everyone agrees that's what it's worth. So there'll be a, you know, a rich guy or a well-to or a guy trying to manipulate the market, manipulate the price, mm-hmm. that'll buy it at the top, and it'll slowly go down. And then usually it'll, you know, start to see more buys, and then there'll be a sweet spot and it's just gone. And so for Art Blocks, they were doing that. They started doing that at the height of the NFT run in fall last year, right when the DAO was forming, because Art Blocks were going for multiple, like they were starting off to mint. It used to start off like it just cost a certain amount, like costs, you know, 20, cost 0.25 or cost 0.75, cost a certain amount of ETH. And they would go up, you know, 10x in a day, fucking 100x in like a week sometimes. And the old Art Blocks were going for hundreds and hundreds of ETH. Like some of the original curated, some of the top lines of this art house.
Hundreds and hundreds of ETH. So you mean like millions, yes. and millions of dollars?
Yes. Yeah. Like the apes were like laughable to us, like, and the prices that we were seeing in Art Blocks, and they still are
at that time.
At that time, yeah, because apes were pretty cheap at that time. Mutant apes were cheap. Yeah.
Yeah.
They knocked Art Blocks out the water. sorry, excuse me. So. We minted this thing. It settled the Ritual, which is the first Art Block that we bought as a group, mm-hmm. settled at 0.2 or settled at 2 ETH. It started probably at 10, mm-hmm. because things were going up so high that they, like, Art Blocks had to make it fair. So they started this new thing and it was kind of experimental and we all hated it, but it ended up kind of helping in the beginning. We'd all watch the thing and see like a whale buy it at 5 ETH, and you know, we all try to guess, and we're all in their telegrams, like chatting to each other and saying like all this funny shit, clearing comms and watching wallets and trying to snipe the perfect listing before it goes up. Cause once it goes to that resting point, once one, like, you know, you see 100 transactions to buy this thing that's out of 1,000, 100 go in the second, then okay, you might as well just buy it. So things started getting crazy because of that also. So the resting prices for things that would be a resting price all the way to like 0.5 ETH would end at 5 ETH. The starting of the Dutch auctions would be like 20 ETH and it has to rest all the way down to 1 ETH, but some of these projects would sell out like way before it got to even the single digits. It happened a few times.
In a Dutch auction, how does the buyer get decided?
We decide it.
Who's we?
The buyers. You decide. It's decentralized. You feel me? So that's the thing. Like if you are a whale and you're like, oh, this Art Block, the Dutch auction is going to start at 20, and I know everyone's probably not going to want to pay more than 3, but I got freaking 10 ETH to throw at this shit and see if I can make some money off of it, because I'll mint 3 other ones, mm-hmm. after I do the Dutch auction at 10, everyone freaks out and they start freaking out, so then I just raise the floor price maybe to 3 to 5 ETH or some shit like that, you know, hypothetically. So then that makes everything worth more, just because everyone's perception, when homeboy is literally going to buy 4 more and sell them at the 5 ETH price and make his money back within two sales and still have a bunch of free art block, hopefully, is the thing. So there's a bunch of funny stuff you can still do with it and game the system. This Tai Lopez shit was just a scam. He's always been a scammer. He's been a scammer for like 10 years straight. He's been scamming crypto. He was in the last run. He's a scammer. He just got the, he figured out what a Dutch auction is probably from someone else in the last, you know, month or two. Just like he figured out about what DeFi was 2 years ago for a second for like 2 months at the top again.
So you guys, so
we got fucked.
So you guys,
we minted some.
Yeah,
it was great. It was 2 ETH and went up. It was the perfect timing for us because it went up to 10 ETH and we sold right away 10 ETH in like 4 days. Mm-hmm. I like told them we're selling at 10. Let's put it at 10. And someone bought that shit for 10. And then we got, you know, all excited, bro. That's what happens when you, your first trade, this is a common thing in general. Your first trade is always a good trade and that fucks up your perception usually. And it's just run it up past them. So we had 10 ETH to play with. You know, we bought some other art block. We meant some other shit, blah, blah, blah. We meant one thing and went up. And then we see this other thing and we know it's going to be the best. So we were like, all right, let's mint this one thing for 5 ETH. And that was at the top because we knew it was going to sell out. The Dutch auction for this next project we bought was 5 ETH and it went out at 5 ETH. That's what it started at and it went nowhere. That was a top signal. We should have fucking knew that. But, you know, we got a little euphoria. We were excited. Mm-hmm. It was great. That project went nowhere. We were trying to sell it, you know, for 10. No one wanted to buy it. We got offers for like 7 ETH, 8 ETH. No, it's going to 30 ETH. We're going to run it up. You know, we were unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
And after, you know, no one buying that one for maybe a few weeks, there was another thing that we saw that we knew because there's going to be a Christie's exhibit for art blocks. Our homie was going to curate, our homie Noah was about to curate a Christie's exhibit for art blocks. So like, oh, it's going to run it up. Let's buy another art block off the secondary market. For 8 Ethereum, because we were up already. Why not? We'll just double down right now and, you know, get 2 prime curated art blocks. Mike is not looking at me, right? Mike is looking. I haven't seen the camera in a minute. I just want to see the end of the story.
Yeah, this is an interesting story.
That was the end of it right there. We just bought him. And we just sold the, so the second art block we bought off of secondary, we just sold that. We just took a loss on that and at like 80% loss, feel me, 75% loss. The market for all art blocks kind of just tanked slowly after we bought that top.
Mm-hmm.
We could have cut and run and probably took offers off of that 8 Ethereum buy or got out earlier. But I up until the last month was like, it's going to be fine. We can hold on to it. Instead, we put it into Ape and that shit's going up. Like I sold it this morning.
Yeah.
Put it into Ape and that's just going up. I think our blocks is really, you know, we're really, all really bullish on it in this group, us three, and most of the DAO is, but it was at the top. We were super excited and euphoric and didn't want to take a stop loss when we could have multiple times, you know, until then. But there's no way to also know that as all hindsight, blah, blah, blah. I think it was a good lesson. Into taking profits, which is something, again, I said in the last pod, I'm going to say to everyone again and not do myself sometime the next week or month,
right?
You know?
Yeah, taking profits. Stopping losses. So you guys took an 80% loss on the one. What did you guys do with the other ones? Because you had the 10 ETH, so you bought some.
I mean, everyone who bought our blocks, all my friends with millions of NFTs in their wallets right now, who are in my telegrams or people that I follow and know, they have millions, like a million. I just looked at the other friend's wallet. He has a million in NFTs right now and he bought probably lost 2 million. Like everyone's down 80% if they bought our blocks.
Right.
At the top, which most people did. A lot of people did in the last cycle. Mm-hmm. And all NFTs went down a good amount in general. And our blocks took one of the biggest hits for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But also a lot of these art blocks, like I'm like, if I get $1 million in ETH right now, I'm buying an art block squiggle right away. Like there's a bunch of art blocks I would buy and hold and not worry about. I'm really bullish on the thing. It's just the market, you know, got a little too excited. It has to cool down.
And like, you know, to today's news in the Ape coin, you know, Bored Ape Yacht Club is one of the most premium intellectual properties in the space. So Yeah, we're down 80%. We sold at an 80% loss, but ArtBlocks is one of those properties where it's really an announcement away in a project away, in a collaboration away from a pump or anything. Like, so it's really about, I mean, we were definitely euphoric in our purchasing, but if you believe in it, you believe in it. So I stand by the investments all the way. And
mm-hmm. I do too. And I believe in them. There's a reason why we bought that.
So, you know, if Board A Yacht Club, I mean, you know, totally different, it's a PFP project, but I'm just talking in terms of just intellectual property and how people leverage that, are leveraging that into the space and beyond, like, you know, their projects and, you know, like ArtBlocks, if we were discussing an intellectual property that's in the generative art space, like, who, you know, who would someone want to partner with and besides them? Like, they're a prime candidate. So I don't think ArtBlocks is dead by any means. I don't think we've seen the last of ArtBlocks.
I got a question. Oh, go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to ask Mike to more speak, because Chris was able to talk to the price action side of ArtBlocks and their projects. I wanted Mike, from an artist perspective, to speak towards some of his more favorite ArtBlocks projects, more from a technical side as an artist, and why he liked them or what he saw.
I mean, there's no real, well, yeah, there is some tech a part of like ArtBlocks actually. Like, a lot of them are interactive in ways. One of my favorite projects was the Geo Runner. By, what was the guy's name? Sam Lord.
Yeah, I remember those.
I thought those were like really cool. A newer project called Chimeras was really great. It was like this movable kind of like still life, floral still life, kind of like Van Gogh iteration. I think, you know, and to your point, I think ArtBlocks does have a lot of like potential to like leverage like the tech behind like the NFTs into gaming spaces, blockchain gaming. Like, I think it's like endless in terms of that. And I'm interested to see if, like, you know, that's a part of kind of like their future rollout as a brand and art house, and integrating like the NFTs into like a more like utilitarian space. But yeah, like the Geometry Runners, the Chimeras. I mean, I don't own a Fidenza, but I love the Fidenzas.
I was going to ask about the Fidenza.
We have the Fidenza Toad as a DAO.
That's such a fancy name. But I was going to juxtapose that with, you know, Mike is talking about all the highbrow art on the NFT scale and, you know, in the space, the Fidenzas, the ArtBlocks, all of this. But
the Ringer.
But one of the projects that blew up in the last couple of weeks are crypto dick butts.
Oh.
And what is crypto's obsession with? I mean, they had a coin, a cum rocket coin, the nickname Cummies, last year. So yeah. What is this weird kind of?
Man, it's DGen, man. It's DGen. It's all, you know, it's still like the meme space has, there's a carvable like market for like memeable shit, you know what I'm saying, in the market. Yeah. So, and like, you know, we like that degenerate shit. I didn't buy a dick butt.
No, but our boy Nice, who did, he actually preached them, and we should have listened, because those things are,
yeah, they got a like, high floor. They're blowing. Yeah,
like 15 months ago, they were cheap.
They are, right?
Yeah, brother, been out since fall, since art blocks.
Yeah, I've seen them. I seen those early.
The sickest part is, y'all, Mike sent me a pic. Like, yo, we're about to get this. And I'm like, what the fuck is it? You guys already know how I feel about this shit anyway. And so I'm like, oh, God, we're about to buy a fucking dick butt. And it's just like, there, I don't even know what it, you know, what is up, what is down at this point.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Exactly. Okay, yeah. Cool. Buy the dick butt. My
Just
say, yeah. That's what I've learned in the last year. Dick butt.
No, bro. There's no way in hell I would have said that to you.
Yeah, no.
Who said
no
who the dick butt?
For sure, Nice who started it, bro. It was Nice who started it.
Yeah,
he sent it to us.
That's part of the genius of the space too, is like the comedic, you know, aspect. It's very nerd comedy, but it's hilarious to a certain.
And that's the like most. That's the difficult part about like making forecasts of what you think is going to be the one, or like, because you have like a great project with great team and all this shit, and it'll just straight like flatline, and then you have some shit like dick butts that like goes parabolic or motherfuckers.
Yeah,
MFers.
I love the MFers. That's like my top five projects.
Yeah.
For sure. But I knew that was gonna hit like that, because that's just that, you know, perfect synergy of the meme and the like the Twitter character. He's got the funny tweets. It's almost like if Justin LaBoy like understood tech, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just make some funny shit. I'm already got the character on there, so cool, you know.
I think Art Blocks is gonna make a comeback, man. I just wanna make that clear. That's the last thing I say on the pod.
I agree. No, I agree. I'm bullish on Art Blocks. Like, the only reason why is because I see the ape call, so I made that suggestion. Or I saw other calls, you know. I am a half trader, half fundamentalist, more of a builder these days, traderheads.com. But no, I am very bullish on Art Blocks. And as soon as I get a good amount of ETH, I'm buying back a lot of stuff that we have sold at cheap right now. So
it's early, man. It's early in the game.
It's very.
We're
especially
still,
with the Coinbase announcements and all this other shit coming on. This eight, like the eight metaverse, you don't think these fools that have Art Blocks are going to hang them up in their ape huts or swamp, whatever the hell they got?
I mean, I think Instagram integrating NFTs is going to be big. And
I saw that. I didn't want to read about it because it just seemed like too much.
Yeah, I think that's going to be an interesting thing, because it's going to be another flex point. You know, right now it's a flex on Twitter, but a lot of motherfuckers don't be on Twitter. And so I think it's going to become another flex point for people that are on Instagram all day, you know, trying to flex up. So, I want to get a quick diversion in the group chat. I knew it was gonna be some bullshit, but I was like, I'm gonna just wait till later to laugh. So I didn't watch it when y'all sent the video of Soldier.
Oh, Big Soldier,
Big Draco,
Big Draco,
man. In the news, he's defending Kanye now. He said he's gonna beat Pete Davidson's ass.
Man, he said, "Don't you ever talk to Kanye girl like that."
Oh, man.
Then he said the only person that gets to talk to Kanye like that is Big Draco.
Yeah, exactly. So one week he loves him, 1 week he hates him. I was actually trying to look up a list of all of the stuff that Soulja Boy actually said that he's done first.
Oh, man. The list too long.
There's some different versions of the list, but the fact that he is like the first YouTube rapper, you know, is pretty it's pretty interesting, you know, as far as like technology. I think Soulja Boy might have been involved in crypto one time or another. I know he definitely shouts out some crypto shit.
Multiple times.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Maybe. Didn't he have a coin? Didn't he have a coin?
Yeah. You don't. Yeah. He tried to. They shut him down real quick.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they did, man. He would have rugged so many people. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Soldier coin. So, yeah, that was what I was thinking.
Soldier rugs.
That's what I was thinking. Like, if we made a coin, like, we could just make, like, a soldier coin or something, like, a meme coin that niggas would love. You know? That might be the way, because niggas also, like, are going to be the ones, like, so hard trying to make it be beautiful and make sense and have utility and da-da-da. And then it's going to be a nigga from Shreveport that's going to come in and, you know what I'm saying, like, sell some shit that's funny, that's, like, you know, not necessarily what everybody is championing at the moment. And it's going to work. It's going to be beautiful. So,
yeah. We'll make an NFT, not a coin.
That's right. Or whatever it is. But Soulja Boy is just a good lesson in not taking yourself too serious, because he's talking shit about Kanye, calling him a bitch pretty much a month ago. Then he wanted to be on Donda 2, and now he's riding for Kanye. I mean, you just got to admire Soulja Boy from just a standpoint.
And he's full throttle in every direction.
Every direction.
There's no moderation. It's just every direction.
Yeah. There's no tempered, you know, approach. He's just
too. Yeah, he's the Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
Big Soulja's the Russell Westbrook of the Kanye beef.
Yeah, for sure.
The other day I saw a video he posted of some new shoes, or like the other week, his new Soulja shoes or some shit.
Oh, the Soulja Stars.
Soulja Stars.
Get you a pair of Soulja Stars.
They look like they are Yeezys with Air Force One mid straps on the top. Those are great. Those are great.
Soulja, send your boy a pair of them Soulja Stars.
Yeah, well, actually, yeah, we'll take Soulja Stars.
Hey, my name is Rare Yeezys.
Yeah, no.
I definitely want Soulja to come on the pod and hawk whatever he wants to hawk, man. Come chill your wares on the Crypto Bro.
Yeah.
Man, big chill.
You know what I'm saying?
Not financial advice this time.
Definitely.
Amount of disclosures we'd have to have every American Express commercial break.
Right. Bitcoin's over 40K. That's cool, I guess.
I guess.
Who cares?
The turtle.
Right? It didn't tank. It's not at.
Yeah. It's not in the tank. Ukraine is trying to make Bitcoin legal tender because they need some ducats right now. That, you know what I'm saying? Trying to fight off lag.
We gotta figure out this war shit, man. Whew. I know. I take my I don't get involved with other people's domestic disputes, but today
it
hit home when I went to the Audi dealership and tried to get the new Audi.
Now he's affected.
They're affecting the bottom line.
His champagne tears.
We got cars stuck at port. We got shit.
What about Nazis?
We got port. We got parts we can't bring in because Ukraine makes them.
It's tough. The world economy. Makes them,
it might be China makes them and sends them through Ukraine. You might need to
Audi is Audi and Porsche, so it's all like German.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that Eastern Bloc.
Yeah.
Nah, for sure, man. It's a real thing. I mean, supply chain shit with everything gets affected when, you know, people go to war, especially. Yeah. When Russia is, people forget that Russia is part mostly in Asia, but also a big part of Europe. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's two big ass continents that they're occupying. So it's a lot of fucking space. A lot of shit gets done around Russia, you know? We know it's a huge ass country. But yeah, we need Vlad to shut that shit down, bro. We got, everybody got the message. Cool, you know what I'm saying? You're the big dog, like, we get it.
Shutting that shit down.
Hey, man, this is political bros, bro.
Right.
This ain't political, bros.
Like I told you before.
per my last email.
right. Respect it.
Do you identify as crypto curious? If you thought about entering the world of cryptocurrency but felt a little overwhelmed, Coinbase makes learning to buy and sell simple. Cryptocurrency might feel like a secret exclusive club, but Coinbase believes that everyone, everywhere should be able to get in the door. Whether you've been trading for years or just getting started, Coinbase can help. Coinbase offers a trusted and easy-to-use platform to buy, sell, and spend cryptocurrency. They support the most popular digital currencies on the market and make them accessible to everyone. They offer portfolio management and protection, learning resources, and a mobile app so you can trade securely and monitor your crypto all in one place. Millions of people in over 100 countries trust Coinbase with their digital assets. Whether you're looking to diversify, just getting started, or searching for a better way to access crypto markets, start today with Coinbase. And for a limited time, new users can get $10 in free Bitcoin when you sign up today at coinbase.com/BOMM. Sign up at coinbase.com/BOMM for $10 in free Bitcoin. This offer is for a limited time only, so be sure to sign up today. That's coinbase.com/BOMM.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
I wanted to get into a semi-political issue with the Fed hike. The Fed raised the rate. What point?
How is that political?
Right, exactly. That's strictly financial because the Fed is not part of the government, right, Mike?
Right. So they say.
Yeah. So we got an interest rate hike in order to curb inflation. Is that what's going on?
Well, they're predicting. JP Morgan and Chase is predicting 6 before the year's end. So this is one of six.
One of six rate hikes.
One of six rate hikes, allegedly.
Yeah. So what does that mean, Mike? Break that down for us.
Well, it's like a spigot. And so they utilize interest rates as a way to control the spending of Americans. So as a way to tighten the spigot of water, the spigot, they raise interest rates, which makes it a little bit more difficult to borrow money because what you have to pay on that per dollar borrowed is a lot higher than what it normally would have been. So that's the way of their way of trying to control the monetary system. And so now we've ran out of bullets because interest rates have been pretty much at zero for what, almost a good part of 10, 15 years now. Mm-hmm. And at this point now, inflation is now running crazy. And now they have no other choice but to raise interest rates. And if you ask, well, why are they so reluctant to raise interest rates? It's very simple. Historically, whenever you raise interest rates, recessions follow shortly after.
Right. And it's because what, the big dogs don't want to spend anymore?
It's not the big dogs, it's more the average consumer. Because right. So look at it like this. They said the interest rates raised a quarter basis point or something like that with the Fed. Okay, cool, that's not too much. But if you're borrowing money from to buy a mortgage, they said that actually raised the price almost like a point, like a percent and a half, basically. Mm-hmm. It's now a percent and a half more expensive to borrow money than it was last week.
Right.
And so they want to continue to do this as a way to dissuade us from borrowing.
Right.
And from lending.
So this is for people with home loans and things like that.
Yes. Yeah. Home loans, car loans also too, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
So car loans are going to get more expensive right now. You know, car leases are going to get more expensive right now.
Yeah. Right. So that means nobody's happy.
Right. And then also, if you have a whole bunch of, you know, if there's no inventory in homes, and then you mix that with, then also people just can't afford to buy homes, then, or not can't afford to buy them, but are choosing not to because it's more expensive now than what it was 6 months ago or 8 months ago. You're going to see something very interesting here. And this is really creating like a really good environment for alternative investments like cryptocurrency, like precious metals, like oil. Things like this are all doing extremely good right now and are going to continue as right. we continue down this path.
Right. Yeah, Mike, so you might have to wait a second to get that out of you, bro. I don't know.
Beginning of May, they should be in.
You're like, they told me this is going to be a
oh, but they said, you know, usually
8 week process.
Put a deposit down and build one, but they're not even like producing, like, you know, on demand. Like,
right.
It's already a thing going on before, you know, in the last 2 years, cars and stuff like that. Everything's already getting more expensive and hiked up. I saw someone tweet today who's pretty ridiculous in general, but he's kind of, you know, tuned in still talking about another stimulus because of someone talking. Was it Yellen? Or someone asked for, saying we need more money to help with inflation, you know. I don't think it'll pop another stimmy in. Would they do that, Mike?
Hey, not side note.
No way.
While I'm not scratching my chin right now, out of utter disgust, side note, as someone who's always been in favor of reparations and that whole conversation around Blacks in this country, watching them just give $13 billion to Ukraine at the drop of a hat, was yet again another slap in the face.
Yeah, that was weak. I mean, in terms of what that means eternally. Yeah, Chris, just mute yourself when you're about to do all that. But yeah, niggas could have definitely got our 40 acres and the mule and everything with that, you know, 20 times over by now. But yeah, they want to pay $750 billion for the defense bill. They want to give money to every foreign nation. They want to, you know, don't want to
$13 billion though, bro, overnight.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Overnight.
They sent that through on the Lightning Network.
Is that why gas fees were so low? Why were gas fees so low this week?
I don't know.
They've been low for like last month.
Yeah, they've been on the floor.
Oh, sorry, everyone. Ethereum gas.
Not that gas.
Not the portable gas.
Yeah, we're sorry.
Yeah, whatever. Every time I went to the gas station this week, I was just like, what's everyone? I was like, oh, yeah, it's expensive. I was like, weird energy for sure. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's supposed to be.
Yeah, $6, bro, is a crazy thing to see at the gas station. I, you know, to say that I was alive at a time when it was 99 cents or less than a dollar, and now it is over $6. That is a hell of a price increase on the same fucking commodity. Like,
right. So look at it like that. It takes six times more the US dollars to purchase the same gallon of gas that it took 20 something years ago.
Yeah.
Six times the US dollars.
Yeah. And
that same math rings true for houses, for cars, for jewelry,
Everything.
It's inflation. And I'm going to tell you, the number one concern of the clients who have been reaching out to us or prospects who have been reaching out to us is inflation. These older people are concerned right now, man. Because look at it like this. If you have, you know, $150,000 to your name, and you had all this mapped out that basically, okay, you would be able to last, you know, off that roughly 7 or 8 years without working. Cool. Perfect. And then now they just printed all that money. And now you have to cut that 7, 8 years down to like 5, 4. They're sick. They're scared. They're pissed off. I don't blame them, especially if you were around in the 70s, like you remember shit being way, you know, the dollar being way stronger. So, and this is not good. This is not good at all, but it's creating a very good environment for crypto. So that's why we're here.
Right. So do we think that it's the end of the bull run and we're getting a recession and crypto is just going to range in a certain area, or do we think that we're going to get a recession and crypto is going to go up again?
I personally see it going up, not to call it projections or predictions here. This is not financial advice, but like from my perspective, I see traders needing alpha and seeking alpha anywhere they can possibly get it. That's halfway regulated. And so they're going to be looking at Bit. They're going to be looking at the Big 2, the Big 3, even probably even some of the top 5s, the top 6, to find that yield anywhere and everywhere, because these stocks are already over leveraged. The buybacks have already been bought back. Like, there is no more blood in this turnip. There's no more. And so now they got to go seek it somewhere else. And I do think it's going to be in the crypto markets because there is so much exposure there and opportunity there.
Yeah, a lot of fresh meat. Yeah, a lot of.
But in the crypto market, where? Like, because everybody's kind of, you know, saying, do you think that Bitcoin is going to 10x from here right now? Do you think Ethereum is going to shoot up to 10,000 in the next 6 to 8 months? Like, where are people finding it?
Real DeFi, not.
I'm asking. So what is the.
Right.
I don't think these price prediction calling out, trying to figure that stuff out, is going to be beneficial in general. That's half the problem.
I'm saying, where is the big money? What coins are the big, is the big money going to fall?
Hey, Pulse X. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Pulse bag loading.
No. Let's say ape for now, boys. Right. Pulse. NFTs, Ethereum. But, I mean, there's not that much money in all that shit.
Yeah. I don't see a lot of big money going into NFT project. Like, I'm talking about, like,
there's not that much money in it yet. I see that.
No, I'm just saying, as far as hedge funds and people with billions and hundreds of millions, like,
we already talked about that last week about, you know, hedge fund strategy towards entering the NFT space. They're just looking at like the tech and the utility of the projects beyond, like, you know, just the art and shit like that. So that's kind of like their criteria.
Mm-hmm.
They are moving in, you know, it's like,
They are moving in. And skills, if you don't mind, I think we're talking about two different conversations investment wise. These legacy finance guys are still dealing in percentages. Mm-hmm. You're talking about multiples. You said, what's probably going to 10x, 100x? They're not here for any of that. They're here for a 30% pop. Mm-hmm. If their clients see a 30% pop in the value of their portfolio, it'll probably be the largest pop that they've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually, I saved this the other day. So Warren Buffett's, there's an article in Yahoo Finance, Warren Buffett's famed stock picker passed away. I was like, oh man, let me see this, right? So I clicked the article, and this was his go-to trader for like 20, 25 years, I think. This guy was a legend, is what they said. He averaged a year over year of about 6.5%. And they called this guy a legend.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. at 6.5% average.
Right.
Crypto does that in a day. Ethereum will do that in a day.
Just went up like 6% like a second ago. Like it went up like 20% like you know, a minute ago or like an hour ago.
Right. And so where I'm going is, you know, legacy finance has never seen numbers like this. And so when they do start to see numbers like this on even a smaller scale of like a 1 or 2X, for them that's 200%. That will blow their fucking tops.
Right.
And so I do see them piling in.
Right.
Into, you know, the top three, top five coins, some DeFi coins. I do see them getting, I see the DeFi space, honestly, taking over the in direct competition with retail banking. Because retail banks can't offer you 6%.
Right. But I'm saying niggas want to know what coins and what's the, and more to the point of that, like, what do you guys see the style of coin? Because all these different coins have different utility. You got your swap coins, you got your coins that run on Ethereum, you got your coins that do, you know what I'm saying, or for transactions, whatever, whatever. Like, what in the space do you guys think, like, is, you know?
I think personally, like, the play to earn space, like, is going to be, is huge and will continue to be huge.
Yeah.
And of course, that's attached to the gaming, the Web3 gaming space, the NFTs having some type of like utility within the game that allow you to passively earn those tokens. Even if you don't play the game, just holding the NFT, you might earn that governance token within that ecosystem.
Yeah.
So like, I think when I think about like the future of the space, the immediate future, and even like, you know, even like education and bringing like the youth and kids in, mm-hmm. I'm thinking in the play to earn space in the blockchain gaming.
So do you think, like, how long or how far away are we from having kids? Because there's a lot of kids stories out there, right? Kids traders making millions, kids with NFTs, whatever, on a massive scale of kids integrating their lives with the crypto and NFT space to where they're making more money than their parents through video games, basically, or through holding tokens that they're acquiring by playing games. Like, is that the future that we kind of see, or is that, like, how far away are we from that?
It's already here.
Yeah.
It's already here. And it's like there's like endless stories of kids who are in awkward parts of like East Asia, mm-hmm. right? Who just game as a way to supplement income for their family.
Right.
There's endless of those stories.
There's a bunch of projects I've been into or one I'm watching now with 14 to 16 year old developers and founders for the project.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. One of the biggest DeFi coins last year called Core was made by, it became like a joke. He was like 17, but people thought he was 14 because his voice, you know, 17 is, you know, a little bit older on the kid age, but still super young.
Mm-hmm.
There's an NFT project right now I'm following with the 16-year-old girl and a bunch of her friends from school that are, that made it like 6 months ago and it didn't do much. And then all of a sudden it sold out in like a day, like earlier this week. And now it's like one of the biggest new projects.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Mike always talks about, you know, doing something like teaching kids, or his projects are, you know, to help kids learn outside of crypto stuff, but also learn about that. And I think that's like one of the most important things that is happening and is going to happen for the next 50 years. Because, again, every time, I think I've said this already, every time I talk to a kid or see a kid talk about or ask them about NFTs and crypto, it's like, why are you asking me this simple, stupid, easy question?
Yeah, I'm interested to see what's going to happen in a world where kids have money.
That's the weird thing to think about.
I was just talking to, I mean, obviously, like, the tokens that they earn could be pegged to, like, you know, they are have some, are backed by some type of liquidity, but maybe it's just like they could redeem things that they need and items and essentials with the tokens. And it's not really like for actual like converting back into like money. Money for them to spend either.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't, the way that technology moves, I can easily see it going to be, you can something on Madden with ETH or, you know what I'm saying, whatever, an extreme version of it. And, you know, that makes you better, gives you this, gives you that. And you can gain things by beating people in tournaments and, you know, like all this stuff. And kids are like, it's going to be interesting to see a world, because it's going to be a worldwide thing where 12, 13-year-old, 11-year-old kids are walking around with money. You know what I'm saying? And how that relationships that they're going to have with the adults in the world and the other kids around them. Like, it's just going to be a whole interesting part of the ecosystem that I thought about recently that I'm like, I wonder how this is going to play out. Like,
and their value proposition is going to be totally different.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if they're earning in fake internet money, mm-hmm. you know, like it, they're thinking about it differently.
Right. So it's going to change the whole thing. Like the whole
system. But that's kind of where I've heard some people who are gamers kind of push back, or not really push back, but really say that this already exists. Right. Right? Like if you play 2K, you converted US dollars into 2K credits to make your player better.
Exactly.
Or to wear the new Jordans or to wear the whatever. Like, you've already been doing that. And so this is, someone was saying the metaverse is just basically like what? Like the loading area before you actually get to your game. It's where everyone's hanging out.
Something like that. I mean, yeah, it's kind of like, I mean, I always reference Ready Player One, where it's like a, yeah, I guess part of the metaverse would be a shared space where people are intermingling or whatever, but you know, it could be whatever people want it to be. People could have a meeting like we're doing right now, you know what I'm saying, in a metaverse type existence, or play other games, you know what I'm saying? Like, we could be playing a fucking whatever, pool, poker, whatever, in a avatar, more real avatar type of space, you know?
Isn't that gaming?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying that it's the you kind of gave it like a very light definition of, I think it's a little more expansive than that.
That fits. What do you mean? It's like, I mean, I play Battlefield. So it's like, basically, okay, we're in the fucking queue.
It's just not operating on the blockchain.
Right.
Right.
It's just not, yeah, it's not open source. And that's, I think, the point. That's the thing that me and most of people in here and most of the people I talk to look for. It's, we're looking for the thing that'll be multi-platform, because I don't want to fucking use Zuckerberg's fucking metaverse, whatever that is.
It's
closed off to his own thing. And I'm not trying to just only I don't want to have to buy credits for Fortnite and then also have to buy them for Halo and then buy them for Madden.
Right.
And they all have to be different. That's the thing. Where I think, like, when we talk about play to earn utility and NFTs and crypto being used in a mass adoption, when it's massively adopted, I think that's what we're looking for. It's, we can use this one thing or use this one medium or one platform for most things and then take them over. Like, I want to be able to take over my PFP from Minecraft and go put it on the VR chat in, you know, Oculus, and then see it on my phone with the whatever coming out with the next AR thing. You know, it's, having it in one spot is the boring thing. That's not what I want. And that's why I think when everyone's like, oh yeah, it's like, what's that game, EverQuest, that was big, or like World of Warcraft, like, yeah, but that's not what I want. That's what is already going on. We want to have it everywhere, which kind of sounds scary when you think about it.
I mean, it's not going to be scary. It's just going to be molded to like everything else. They're going to make an arcade out of it. You know what I'm saying? It's going to look cool and futuristic. People are going to love it. You know, like, you're going to be able to get your coins from your ape coins to the coins that you use there, to the tokens that you win and take home or whatever, you know, they're going to integrate everything. It's going to look cool. People are going to dig it. My whole thing is that it just seems the further and further we get away, you know, I want to finish on this topic of just like, we got to have some representation as Black people in this space, like doing some big shit, you know, whether it's comical and it's a meme or some like really innovative shit. Like, and I know niggas is working. I seen like, you know, a bunch of people like Idris Sandu. I saw him working, you know, saying he was working on stuff. A lot of people are. And so I don't want to knock them, but we got to, you know, come with some shit, because it's just mostly everybody else, right?
So what's the solution? Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I know it's a lot of collaboration. You know, it's a lot of diverse groups of people making a lot of things. But I feel you, you know.
What's the solution?
Obviously.
Not Akon. Don't ask Akon.
Nah, a lot of the solution is we got to do this shit ourselves. You know, certain shit, you know, we got to provide some kind of projects and things for people, you know, that we've always like been creators. We've always been at the forefront of things. And I think, you know, obviously Mike has dropped his collection. Chris, you just dropped Droid Heads. So it's not like you guys aren't contributing to the space, like you are. And niggas is moving forward. I just want niggas to be successful and to get the same love that I see, you know, all these other people getting, who I know, you know, shout out to their talent, but they ain't fucking with y'all, you know, they ain't fucking with us. And there's so many other Black and brown people like us that's super talented that I would love to see like blow up in this space. So, you know, I just hope that happens.
For sure. Just gotta, and Chris and I have talked about it after he launched Droid Heads with his peers. But, you know, after you release your first project, you definitely, you know, have a revelation and step back and, you know, want to move even more intentionally and make your next move your best move. And it's just a lot of like education and dialogue that has to occur for if you want like a sustainable, really dope project. A lot of reading, a lot of listening, a lot of like reaching outreach. It's not just like in the bedroom by yourself.
No, for sure. Yeah, you gotta get these 100K discords. Yeah. Shout out to AB.
You gotta be in the spaces. You gotta, you know, read some white papers. Man, you know, so I think niggas have to like, one, first start going beyond the surface of the narrative, of the popular narrative of what they think it is, you know, or what it is on the surface level, and peel the onion back for themselves. Because if you're just looking at crypto as, you know, these funny ass looking apes, and that's your only association, I don't know if you know, it's like, if you're even capable of being a part of anything significant, you know? If that's like the core understanding of it, because even, you know, they represent so much more than that, especially at this point. But like, I think we have to strip away the popular narrative and kind of like peel it back and start to really get down to the content of, you know, what really makes this space special and what makes it the future.
Right. And that's why I'm like thinking about what I sent you guys earlier this week, you know, about the guy wanting to collaborate, you know, with us. And it's like, you know, I just want the shit in the space that we do to be right. And I want to think about, you know, our brand and our place and what that means. Even if it doesn't mean a lot to somebody right now, you know, you got to always think about the future. And, you know,
yeah.
And so every step along the way matters. And you know, for everybody, you got to think about what the art says and what the collaboration says and what, you know,
yeah,
it says.
And you need to ask.
I just wanted to say something before we leave too, just in reference to the participation of it by us. This is one of those things where I told a female friend of mine, I was like, women were shut out of traditional finance right. for a very long time. Right, really up until like, what, the 70s or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Completely shut out. Blacks were as well. And so at this point, you're not shut out, right? There's no excuse. The information is for us to find. And it's out there. And that's the most beautiful part of this. It's like, there is nobody holding you back or not allowing you to have access to a library or cutting your hands off for reading at night. There's none of that. There's no excuse.
Well, not
you
here.
Have to know that it exists.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And then the crazy thing is, of course, you know, people have to see it first. So they have to see the Lambo or the $7 million crib and, you know, Newport, whatever, that's going to be on them. But it's out here, it exists. And like, I'm not in the business of selling people dreams, right? And so I would love for more people to be involved, but they have to want to be involved as well.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and they got to be involved, want to be involved for the long haul, you know, at least some lengthy period of time for like, you know, the biggest disease with people in crypto is they want to be around for a couple months and hit a lick, you know.
Because they think this is a get rich quick scheme. And so historically we've seen what happens in environments where people all believe this is a get rich quick scheme.
Yep.
Because people do
have gotten rich quick, but people have gotten rich quick off the stock market as well. And you know, a bunch of real estate and a bunch of other endeavors. But, you know, I think the newness of this is takes, you know, a big part of it as well. And, you know, I can't say that I haven't been caught up in the euphoria and the hopium of, you know, getting rich quick off of this at times. So I understand the plight and the thought process of a lot of people who get stuck in that mindset, but you really have to treat it honestly. You know what I'm saying? Like you would treat your money anywhere else. You got to treat it honestly and know that if you really want a return or something special to come from it, that, you know, you have to be patient. And we always go back to that patience and timing in the market. So yeah, I think we're going to end on that note. You know, this has been a great episode. Crypto Bros, happy St. Patrick's Day to all the Irish out there, all the Catholics, everybody. Hope you enjoy yourself. Be safe.
Can I say something?
Yeah, of course.
Man, rest in peace, Mrs. Wallace. She was my favorite teacher at Frank D. Parent Elementary and Junior High School in Ladera Heights right there. An angel, a woman of character, of class, of commitment. She was the first person that ever held me accountable for my actions outside of my home. So she will forever be missed.
R.I.P.
And with that, this is Jason Madison for Mike McGoy, Mike Rousseau, and Chris Epps. Peace.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.